Thanks for listening to the Last Days podcast with Dr. Todd and Katie Holmes. To stay connected, please check out the River of Tri-Cities Church on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, or online at riverofticities.com. The Last Days podcast can be found on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. Now, here's Dr. Todd and Katie Holmes.
Because of somebody getting mad at me, somebody chewing me out, somebody slapping me in the face, somebody, you know, hitting me, whatever it might be. I've experienced all those things.
And you forgot about the full moon.
Yeah, and I got, that was a double full moon. In one crusade, that's it. I got moon twice. And side by side moons. And actually, that was here in the United States in Nashville. Praise God.
The gay guys, right?
Yeah. It was at a Centennial Park right across from Vanderbilt University. It was the biggest LGBTQRSTUVWXYZ hangout. Yeah, they didn't have all the different
the letters. Sorry.
But yeah, and so, you know, right in the midst of preaching, all of a sudden a couple guys stand up on the benches and turn around and drop their drawers, and there I am staring at these pale white moons. And I was like, wow, that's encouraging. But the thing is that, you know, I didn't think, you know, when God told us to start doing the crusade ministry in India, that, oh my gosh, I can't do that. You know, then I'm going to get another color of moon. Now,
it doesn't really matter.
Guns. Oh, that's right. Yeah. Guns and swords and threatenings. And yeah. So, you know, you forget those things that are behind you, or at least you are able to at least laugh at them.
Yeah,
and
right.
You get a good laugh at them now.
There's many times we go through things. Oh, this is going to make a great ministry story later.
Oh, my Lord.
Going through it, I'm like, oh, Jesus, help us. But anyway.
Yeah, and that's where the great ministry stories come through.
Right.
They come from really some terrible situations and things that you go through.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody gets to laugh at you now and laugh with you, maybe. I hope they laugh with, but, you know, sometimes it's just laughing at. But the thing is, you know, people, Pastor Todd, how do you get so many stories? You live a while. You just live a while and you don't give up, and you'll get like way too many stories. You ought to write a book. I don't know if I want to remember all of these things. Actually, I have a place in my notes, and it's ministry stories. And sometimes I just go back through there and like just flip through them. It is one stupid long note. I mean, it is so long.
I think we've had
all
some
of
few
the
things
different stuff
recently we could add to
oh
it.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Yeah, every once in a while I'll add another something to it. But it's crazy what all that you experience that doesn't stick with your soul.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Okay?
That's true.
And understand this, your spirit's not the only eternal part of you. Your soul is also eternal.
Right.
Your memories. You will have memories. That's why God wipes the tears from our eyes when we're in heaven. Mm-hmm. Okay? Because you remember things.
Right.
And so your body is not there, but your spirit and your soul are linked up. And so, you know, we'll have memories.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is that, you know, you have to allow the Holy Ghost to be Lord of your mind and your emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to allow him to be Lord over the areas where you've been hurt.
Mm-hmm.
You have to open it up and say, Lord, come in, pour in the oil and the wine, do a work inside of me. And some that are listening here right now, you know, there's some areas in your life. There, mm-hmm. when it's pushed, you go, ouch, you feel it.
Right.
When somebody says something, when you see something,
right.
Even when you see somebody else going through something, it raises up something inside of you. Something gets stirred up inside of you, and you begin to like growl inside.
Mm-hmm.
That needs to be released. You need to let that thing go. And you can't be afraid of pain. You cannot be afraid of pain in ministry. And so that is a mistake that many ministers and leaders make,
mm-hmm.
being afraid of pain.
Mm-hmm. You know, I was just thinking, you know, you think of the years and the time that Paul, the Apostle Paul, spent in prison.
Oh, yeah.
Which, oh my gosh. I mean, it's not like the, you know, the jails and the prisons of the U.S., you know, where he was. But you think about how during that time, was when he wrote, you know, all the epistles, all the letters to the churches, or most of
them. Much of it, yeah.
Much of it. And
sometimes he was in house arrest.
That's true.
Which
right.
he had actually paid for his own house, actually. He was responsible for his own. But he was in the prisons and mm-hmm. behind bars, underground sometimes.
Right. And so the freedom that came forth out of him, obviously, he was not bound, maybe in the natural, but certainly not in his mind or his spirit. But you think about what a benefit, even those letters would have been just to the churches, but they're in, of course, the Bible. And so they benefit untold millions and now billions of people and the freedom that it brings forth to their life from someone who in the natural was bound and who had gone through, I mean, you read, like you were referencing, babe, all the different stuff that he went through is like horrific. I mean, you talk about like he could have his stories of church hurt, you know. And yet the beautiful things that came forth and the impact that he had, you know, really greater than all the other apostles, even the ones that walked directly with Jesus. And it is just simply amazing. So that should be an encouragement, you know, to each one of us that, you know, even if it's, you know, our own hangups or mindsets, I mean, that's usually kind of like the biggest problem is as long as you understand you have authority over the devil, which if you don't, then, I mean, that'll be a problem for you. But, you know, it's God just has so much blessing and victory that has already been made ours, you know, that in comparison to what, you know, what pain we might experience in the natural, it's like there's no comparison whatsoever. So we don't have an excuse, I guess is where I'm going with that. So if you're afraid of pain, first of all, take authority over the spirit of fear. And then let the Holy Spirit do an amazing work in you and don't shy away from confrontation because sometimes that's a thing that people, leaders don't like. I, myself included, that's not something that I have, that's been a work I've had to do, you know, just being able to learn how to confront. Of course, you're still respectful to people. You do in love. You speak the word. But I'll say that I'm so thankful for what the Lord has done. I mean, now sometimes I'll say things, you know, very straight and not in a rude way, but very just straight to people and be bold. And as I'm saying it, I think later, I cannot believe that you just said that. I cannot believe that you're able to do that. And it's only because of the work of the Holy Spirit, you know, in my life. But when you allow him to do a work on the inside of you and the beautiful fruit that comes forth from that, then you want to see him be able to do that in other people's lives. But of course, he is the spirit of truth. So if you're not even willing as a leader to speak truth in love and in kindness, you don't actually really love the other person. You're certainly not demonstrating the love of God to them.
Amen. And so that was all under, you know, being afraid of pain, a mistake that leaders and ministers make. The number seven mistake that leaders and ministers make is not operating in a spirit of excellence. Not operating in a spirit of excellence. In other words, they just kind of, it's like half-hearted attempts at ministry.
Yeah.
Or half-hearted leadership. You don't put yourself into it. You're just like, oh, you know, I'll just show up and whatever. No. Yeah, that's a huge mistake. You got to give it your very best.
Right.
Always. You come to an understanding that I will never give anything less than my best. If you can't give your best always, you shouldn't be in ministry. If you can't give of yourself fully, don't go into ministry. Don't right. make mistakes either. Mistakes are half lies. They're premeditated right. lies.
I think you're thinking of excuses.
Excuses. Oh, yeah. What did I say?
Mistakes.
Sorry.
Well,
excuses.
Made a mistake
yeah.
in your excuse.
Yeah, I did make a mistake there. Okay. Yes, excuses are pre-planned lies. Okay, well, I can't go forward with this because this, that. You're just making an excuse, all right? And so own up to things, but give it your best. Give it your best. And if you fail, fail forward. Do better next time. and acknowledge, you know what, I made a mistake. And I did this, shouldn't have done that. And I'm not talking about mistakes like sin. I'm talking about sometimes we just, in ministry, you go in a direction, and I've seen this since, my gosh, I was a young boy being raised, you know, in a ministry family. And then, you know, continuing on and the ministry that we've done in evangelism and missions and different churches that we've been with, that we've helped. And, you know, you just find out that, you know what, people make mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you make decisions, and sometimes the decisions that you make, maybe that wasn't the best. But you know what? You just say, well, you know what? That wasn't exactly what was the best. So we're going to change gears. We're going to shift some things. We're not going to continue in a failing pattern. Mm-hmm. If you're in a failing pattern, then change your ways, okay? If things are decreasing constantly in your ministry, in your church, find out why and make adjustments, okay? And let me just say this, that, you know, a lot of times people in ministry, you know, I preached a message like this one time. Wow. This is like, I don't remember how many years ago this was, babe. All of a sudden I'm having like a flashback. It's like, and the message was growing old in ministry. I don't even know why. Growing old in ministry. And I was talking about patterns actually that defeat us. This is way back in whoa, this is maybe 30 years ago.
That's so strange that at that age you would,
yeah, you would, because people that. Lose. It's just like you, man, I'm feeling this.
You should go dig it out.
I'm sure I've got the notes somewhere.
I'm sure you do. Boxes. You can't imagine how many boxes of sermon notes.
But the thing is that people grow old. And when you get old, you get in patterns.
Yes.
Admit it, okay? And you get in patterns, and patterns are hard to break because mm-hmm. they're patterns of comfort. And you've worn a path.
Yeah.
Because you keep doing the same thing. And it's like animals in captivity. They have a path that they go through in captivity because there's no freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And so if there is a path that you are on, and that is what you continually do in ministry, you are not free in ministry.
Right.
And that is just showing that you are showing signs of age in ministry.
Mm-hmm.
Because you've got to break out of that. You have to break out of that. Okay. Because that will hinder you, and things will begin to decrease in your ministry. If things begin to fall away, then understand that you need to make adjustments. You need to make some changes.
Right.
And you can't grow old in ministry. Make changes. Get renewed in the spirit of your mind. Allow God to do a fresh work inside of you. That's why we need fresh oil. We need a yes. fresh anointing in our lives. My wife and I, we contend. We yes. contend for fresh oil. We contend yes. for a fresh touch of God. I'm just like determined inside myself. I will not get spiritually old in Jesus' name. I'm going to be refreshed in His presence. And I'm going to allow God to keep doing a fresh work inside of me. I'm going to keep a fresh word. I'm not just going to keep going back to the old stuff. No. And even if I were to preach a message that I preached before, you would never be able to tell that message has ever been preached before, because it's going to come out with a fresh perspective. I might be the same notes, but I'm not delivering it like I delivered it before. I'm delivering it as it is fresh right now, because God spoke to me and said, give this word. So mm-hmm. like last night,
right.
I was preaching a message because God told me to go back and talk about desperation and hunger in people's lives. The notes that I used, those are probably like 30 years old.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
That's crazy.
But I didn't preach from that. It was a fresh word.
Oh, totally.
It was a totally fresh word.
That was an amazing service.
And the thing is that you have to allow God to keep doing a fresh work inside of you. And that's why it's excellent. That's because it's like, I mean, I remember growing up, and my parents in ministry, many years ago, as they pastored in Indiana, There wasn't a lot of finances. I didn't know that at that time. They never told me. They never talked about lack. They never talked about being poor or, you know, you can't have that. I never ever heard that and everything like that. I just think back of things that I went through and I think, you know what? Prosperous people didn't do that.
They didn't eat we that didn't, way.
Yeah, they didn't eat that stuff, you know, that SOS.
Oh, my gosh.
Not the Brillo pads. But, yeah, I'm just like, you know, what, cream beef on a piece of toast and stuff like that. And so, you know, you go through things and all. And I remember we had a bakery in town. It was called Saps Bakery. And I guess the owner's named Saps. And so, anyway... but I was always thrilled because every once in about 3 months or so, my dad would get a box of a dozen day-old donuts. And they were never fresh. They were day-old. And, you know, it was long before the days of microwaves. And so it wasn't like you could stick it in the microwave for 5 seconds and, you know, get a little soft again or something like that. But anyway, but we were just so thrilled. Just like, wow, you know, this is great and everything like that. But you know, sometimes you operate in things because of where you are. But I, you know, I ate those day old donuts and that's what, you know, well, okay, this was pretty good. Until I had a Krispy Kreme donut that was just like coming right off of the belt, you know, belt. It just had the icing poured over it and everything like that. I remember the first time I ate a Krispy Kreme, I was like, oh my gosh. You know, these are long ways from Saps
Whole
Donuts.
Whole new world opened up to you.
I'm going to tell you, it's incredible stuff. And you realize that, wow, you know, there's more out there. That what I had before was not excellent. When we were, I've told this story also about when we were doing crusades over in India, and our crusade director, Vinod, he took us to, after we finished with the crusade, where we setting one up. I don't know what we were doing anyway. He said, hey, he goes, I want you to experience the greatest ice cream ever. I was like, oh, okay. And so my wife and I were like, all right, that's great. He said, this is made here in whatever city we were at. This is where it all comes from. Dinshaw's ice cream. And we were like, oh, wow, cool. This is awesome. You know, we were based down in Florida and everything. And you know, so Tampa area, they had pretty much everything down there. But we had never experienced Indian ice cream. And so I should have had a clue because I'd experienced like everything else that India had and was not real impressed. But the other thing was that we went into this little bitty tiny store to get it. Yeah. And it was in this little cooler bin. Yeah. And he takes out this little thing, and it's probably what you used to eat maybe. And, you know, if you had cafeteria food in the school, one of those little things with the wooden spoons, you know, where you get the ice cream out of the little plastic or cardboard container.
It's like
it was
a half
cardboard,
a cup
yeah,
ice cream
with
or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, with a little wooden spoon, and you remember the taste of the wooden spoon more than you remember the taste of the ice cream,
for sure.
And so anyway, that's what it was. And so we took a bite of this, and it was just vanilla ice cream. We took a bite, and you know, he's all lit up and everything. Oh, this is Dinshaw's ice cream. It's so good. And so we were just like, oh yeah, until we were putting on this happy face. Wow, thank you so much for sharing this with us. Yeah, and he goes, isn't this just wonderful? And he was just like super excited about it. And so I thought, you know, Vinod had never been to the United States. And I was like, you know, one time when he comes over to the United States to be with us, I'm going to introduce him to Baskin Robbins and just blow his loving mind. And so anyway, sure enough, a few years later, Vinod comes over to the United States to be with us, and we're down there in Tampa. And anyway, I said, hey, Vinod, do you remember Dinshaw's ice cream? Oh, yes, I remember Dinshaw's ice cream. I was like, well, you know what? I want to introduce you to some ice cream here in the United States. And I said, this is like some of the best that we have. Now, this is back a few years ago now, so.
We have better now.
But anyway, so I said, but Baskin-Robbins was real close to the church there.
Yeah, and the variety.
And the variety, yeah.
Obviously,
yeah. 31 flavors. Uh-huh. And so, anyway, so we walked into Baskin-Robbins. And I said, Vinod, I said, well, I want you to come up here. And I said, I want you to, you know, experience some ice cream here. And I said, which kind would you like? And he's not looking down in the case. He goes, I just take some ice cream. And I says, what flavor? Ice cream. Well, I said, that's not a flavor. That's a thing. I said, what flavor do you want? I said, look at all these flavors. And he's looking and he goes, this is all ice cream? I said, yeah, that's all ice cream. And I said, you can try whichever flavor you would like. And so he just began to, let me taste that. And each time his mind was blown because all he was ever aware of was vanilla ice cream. Mm-hmm. And that's the way it is. You know, a lot of people in ministry, you know, they minister at a vanilla level. It's not excellence. Okay. It's the basics. Come on, people. Let's go to the next level. Let's move out of vanilla realm, okay? Mm-hmm. And begin to operate at a much higher level. And the Holy Ghost, let him flow through you. Let him minister through you. Your ministry should be exciting. Your ministry should be powerful. That what God does should be mind-blowing to people. Mm-hmm. We had somebody, a couple that's just been coming to the church for a couple weeks last night in the service. They'd never experienced anything like the Holy Ghost outpouring that was in the service last night. I mean, it was incredible. And we get done, this guy's eyes are like, I mean, so bugged. And he's like, wow.
Yeah, literally out loud. Yeah.
Literally. I mean, everybody heard him, wow.
Yeah.
And he's like, you never experienced, never knew God could do this. And totally blown away. Awesome. But you know what? You don't get to that place, and God doesn't do that if you just give a half-hearted attempt in ministry. You've got to put everything into it. You've got to allow the fire of God to flow through. You've got to speak as it is the oracle of, as you know, the oracle of God. This is it. This is God speaking to you. I know I've got a word of God, and I know what's going to happen. And so you have to have a ministry of excellence. Operate in a spirit of excellence always.
Yes, absolutely. And if you're going to be, obviously we're talking primarily to those that are in full-time ministry, but leaders, if even business or whatever area that you're a leader in, of course you understand that really operating in a spirit of excellence is about doing the very best with what you have. A lot of times people will just say, well, when I have this, or when I have more money, or if I could only have this person working for me or whatever. And so basically they never then step into even beginning to operate in a spirit of excellence. Well, if you don't do that, how are you going to grow in bigger areas? And quite frankly, until you're doing the best with what you haven't even proven yourself to the Lord as a faithful, good steward that could be entrusted with more, right? So again, you're making a mistake that holds yourself back when you don't just give it your all with everything. So if you're, let's say, you know, maybe you work in an area of hospitality and it's serving people, whether that's in a restaurant, whether that's in, you know, for planning bigger events or bigger venues or whatever area that might be in retail or again with food or whatever it is, it's some area of hospitality or hosting people. Do the very best with it. I mean, there's nothing like you know, you can go to a place that maybe like the food wasn't just like, oh, the best ever or whatever, but because you had a wonderful server that like was very attentive, that really took care of you, that, you know, explained things well, that gave you suggestions, that made you just feel right at home, that just like really, you know, focused on what you were needing and what helped make you most comfortable, that made it, that alone, that person alone made the experience the most awesome and amazing simply because they gave of the very best that they had. And I'll just say for each one of us, we have the creator of the universe living on the inside of us. We have the great Holy Spirit. He's the greatest teacher there is to help us, that the love of God and the anointing flows out of us in whatever we're called to do and whatever we are doing. It should be that really that right there, we have such an excellence. We have the power of excellency in us, making himself real to us and through us. So we literally have no excuse that in whatever it is that we're doing, that we do things in a spirit of excellence. And that always involves like full effort on our part. And of course, you know, I've found this out that when we determine to do things in a wonderful way and a great way, of course, it involves almost all of the time us being stretched in some way. But here's what I found out is that when we just mix our faith with that, Lord, we desire, Lord, this is what you've called us to do. Lord, we have an event coming up. Lord, we want to, you know, host these ministers here, or we want to bless our church in this way. We want to bless our community in this way. Whatever it is that we're doing, Father, help us and enable us to do this in a great spirit of excellence. And you know that we mix our faith with that all the time. And the Lord brings the people. He brings the resources, whatever it is that is needed. But see, a lot of times people won't even in and of themselves commit themselves to operate in a spirit of excellence. They won't believe the Lord and mix faith with even that prayer or anything to be able to do things in a great way. And you so sell yourself short, actually. And what happens is you miss out on promotion from the Lord because you're not operating in a spirit of excellence. And you understand that promotion means going forward, forward motion. That's what it's talking about, a forward movement. And of course, we understand that in the natural, if you're on a job and you're believing for a promotion, then you have an understanding you have to do more than what you've currently been doing and do more than everybody else around you in a more excellent way, right? I mean, we understand that's how it works. Why then do we actually think it's different in the kingdom of God? Because even in the natural ways, the Bible says that promotion comes from the Lord and only from the Lord, not from the north or south, east or the west, anywhere else, any person else. It actually comes from the Lord. So we in the kingdom of God should have the greatest understanding of this, that it takes and requires us to be operating in a spirit of excellence. And then don't stay at the same spirit of excellence, because the Lord blesses you and he provides people alongside you to help you, and you raise them up. We've been talking about raising up leaders. You raise them up to also have them develop and a spirit of excellence about them and to do things in a right way. Because sometimes you'll even see that leaders, they have people underneath them that they're responsible for, but they won't actually, and of course, everything's done in a right way. There's a right way to do things, I should say. You need to make sure that those around you, whether that's in your own household or those that are serving underneath you or employed underneath you, that they operate in a spirit of excellence. Because if they don't, it actually holds you back as a leader or as a minister. So some people don't even, you know, we have a great saying that we actually got from Pastor Eric Gagnon: inspect what you expect. So in other words, if 100%. you can tell people, you can delegate to people below, you can have job responsibilities, you should have all these type of things going on anyway, a manual, you know, things like that, the structure, the necessary needed structure that to be able to facilitate growth and increase, right? But you can even assign duties to people or tell them once or whatever. But if you never go back and check, or you don't have your managers underneath you, you don't have people underneath you to actually go and check, you really have no proof or no idea of if things are actually being done in a spirit of excellence. And the next thing you know, you have decline and delay and all of these things that shouldn't be happening around you. And you're like, what the heck's going on? I'm sitting here believing God. I'm using my faith. I'm doing the very best that I can do or whatever. Meanwhile, though, you've not checked up on other things beneath you and around you, and things aren't being done right. And understand that, of course, people are flesh, each one of us. You know, just, you know, my husband mentioned, you know, earlier, or I guess now maybe it's on the previous podcast, about, you know, giving excuses. Each one of us, that's what our flesh does, gives excuses. You know, I remember even, you know, in different things that I have, you know, trained the boys in around the home. Most of you know we have three boys. Well, actually two of them are adults now. But anyway, so through the years, training them on different things, because whether you're male or female, you should know how to take care of yourself. You know, you should know how to like clean and do laundry and cook food and all these kind of, you know, things. But I remember just at different times, even training them, and still one of them, you know, really working with and stuff like that. You know, like you tell them like, okay, this is how you clean the toilet. You know, well, then they give some like half-hearted attempt. Well, this is good enough. It doesn't, and this phrase over and again, Mom, it doesn't really matter. Okay, but you know what does matter, though, is doing things in a spirit of excellence. And I'm not talking about, you know, like there was some old movie. I never even watched the whole thing, so maybe I'm quoting something I shouldn't quote or whatever, but it was, I think it was called like Mommy Dearest, about this lady who was over the top and abused her, yeah, her kid, right? About, you know, she wouldn't do everything to the perfection. I'm not talking about that. Again, perfectionism is very different than a spirit of excellence, okay? Perfectionism is based on pride in a standard that you can never achieve. Doing things in a spirit of excellence is all about being a great steward of what God has entrusted you with and doing the very best with what you can do, okay? Not getting wrapped up and, you know, in bondage and pride and everything because things aren't just like perfect. There's nothing in life really that's perfect. Jesus is the only perfect one. And so anyway, but you know, we have to challenge ourselves and challenge our flesh, like, well, let's do the very best that we can do. If we're going to do something, let's do it right. If we're going to clean, then clean properly. And it should look clean. It shouldn't be that you clean something and then someone walks in and go, was this cleaned or not? Oh yeah, it's still half dirty here. Oh yeah, you forgot. You know, yeah, you cleaned the kitchen. Well, you totally forgot the stove and you never, there's crumbs all over the floor or whatever. Oh no, but I did clean the sink. Okay, well, there's a lot more to the kitchen than just the sink. You know, so a lot of operating in a spirit of excellence is going to take you more effort and more diligence than you thought it was going to take almost all the time.
Sure.
But then you grab hold of the grace of God and God help me. And you know, if there's things that even that you can't even do in and of yourself, the Lord sends the people. He sends the help. He'll give you actually a better way that you can do things quicker and easier. See, a lot of times people are just, they're just stuck and like, oh, well, I don't have time. Let's do this. Well, actually, give it to someone who's busy doing something, and you'll see actually all the different things, not just that one thing they accomplished in the time, but all this other stuff. Why? Because out of necessity, they had to come up with a better way, and they had to learn actually how to delegate something. See, a lot of times when you're put in a position where you're forced to do things, that's actually when great things will come forth from your life. So instead of, like, again, you know, just sitting back, oh no, making some excuse or whatever. No, actually, just make yourself do some things because you'll grow out of that. Great growth will come forth from you.
That's a good word there, baby. Very good word.
Thank you, Jesus.
Another and last mistake that we're going to mention here that ministers and leaders make. Number 8, not being appreciative. Not being appreciative, okay? Not showing appreciation. And that's not just to people who are, you know, over you. It's to everybody.
Right.
Learn to be thankful. Be a thankful person. Mm-hmm. Be appreciative. Be appreciative to, first, let me just say this. Appreciation starts in your home.
That's so good.
Because it should be in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And so if it's not in your home and it's just, you know, at your church or at your job, that's not real.
Mm-hmm. That's so good.
It's not real, okay? You're fake. You're a faker, okay? Because if it's in your heart, if you're truly a thankful person and an appreciative person, you'll be appreciative to those who are around you. You'll be appreciative to your spouse. Mm-hmm. You'll be appreciative to your children right, to their parents.
Right.
You'll be appreciative to those that, yes, that are above you. Those, you know, who influence you. You'll be appreciative to those who are beneath you and those right, who help you.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, because if you're a minister, you know, Jesus said, for the Son of Man didn't come to seek and to save. No, he didn't he didn't come to
be served.
To be served. Probably, I was getting all my verses confused there and everything. That wasn't excellent, was it?
He didn't come to seek those that are lost.
Yes. He did not come to be served, but right, the Son of Man came to be a servant of all. And so, you know, when you recognize that you need people and you appreciate what they are doing, you appreciate things about them, what they do. We just had a Helps Ministry banquet here at our church. And one of the things that I was sharing just very briefly with all of those that had come, and our staff served everybody, all of the ones involved in our Helps Ministry, but I look at what people do in the helps ministry is as important in the natural as what the Holy Ghost does in the spirit realm. The Holy Spirit, he comes, he's our paraclete. He comes alongside to help us. That's what paraclete means. But in the natural, those in the helps ministry, they're called to come alongside and help also. And you can't do it with just the Holy Spirit.
Right.
You have to have people to help you.
That's
and
true.
You to have people, you're going to have to be an appreciative person.
Mm-hmm.
You can't be somebody that is some tyrant that is always, you know, cracking the whip and always being stern and everything. You're a joke. You're a joke. And you know what? I know some ministers like that.
Mm-hmm.
I know some ministers like that.
Nobody wants to be around.
No.
And they can only...
You'll
people,
lose people.
Right. People can only stay around you for so long.
Yeah.
And
you're
it's
too
actually,
intense.
Right. It's actually very detrimental to their future walk with the Lord is the crazy thing.
Yeah. We have people that are here in our church, and they're being restored because of, you know, how they were treated by leadership in other places.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sad.
That's sad.
You have to love them and you have to appreciate them. But if it's not, it has to start in your home.
Mm-hmm.
And so you as a leader in your home, You have to be appreciative. Be appreciative of your spouse,
mm-hmm.
and all that they put into your life. Be thankful. Thank them. Not just I think good thoughts of them. I'm not talking about thinking good thoughts. Show your appreciation. Let them know. Tell them, hey, I love you. I appreciate you. Tell your children that mm-hmm. you love them and you appreciate them.
Mm-hmm.
And point things out that they do and recognize what they do mm-hmm. and thank them for doing it. You say, mm-hmm. well, they shouldn't get any thanks. This is part of, you know, living here in the house, and this is just what they should do anyway. You know what? Maybe so, but that doesn't mean you can't be thankful.
Right.
Okay. You're just like, understand that kindness, which is where Thanksgiving comes from.
Right.
It kindness is the longest arm of love.
Mm-hmm.
And if you cannot be kind to people, you should not be in ministry. If kindness cannot be your core, you really shouldn't be in ministry. You do not deserve to be a minister of the Most High God because you represent Him. It's His goodness that leads men to repentance.
Mm-hmm.
It's His kindness, His mercy, mm-hmm. these things that lead men to repentance. Not His harshness. And we got a lot of ministers out there. They're very harsh. They're taskmasters.
Right.
No. That's the wrong path. You have to appreciate. You have to love people. Go out of your way to do things that show people how much you appreciate them. Your staff, mm-hmm. do that for them. Let them know how much you appreciate them. Maybe you're in a place where you're not able to even pay your staff what you know they're worth at this time. But do other things often to let them know how much you appreciate them. Let them hear it from you. Let them see it from you. Find ways to be appreciative.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And this will go very far.
Yeah, I would say that is so true, because within our families, within those that we work with, you know, that we work closely with, and of course within your family, I mean, people are around us like that, they see great things from us, but they also put up with stuff that's not so great, if we were to be honest, for each of us, right? They see us in our good days, our bad days, you know, when we look all, you know, great and put together, and then when we don't and our breath stinks and, you know, we're just like having a hard time or, you know, whatever. And I have found that just the simple things of appreciating people and listening to them and, you know, responding to them, caring for them, remembering if they tell you that they're going through something difficult, or, you know, their aunt just passed away, someone they're really close to, or whatever it is, just remembering things and asking people and following up with them. They're actually very simple things, but you would be amazed at how far actually that takes you. with them and how much what they will do in return for you. And I say this, do it with a pure motive. I'm not saying you do these things so, okay, well, I'll do this to see what I can get from them later. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm just demonstrating what that produces and how special that is for each one of us. Each one of us need that. And so because you need that, you need to be able to sow that, right? Because we're going to reap what we sow.
Yeah.
And so, you know, just within our lives, you know, we've just made it a habit, even with simple things like, you know, if I make the bed, my husband's always like, thank you so much for making the bed. And he doesn't go, oh, well, you're the woman. That's your job. You should be doing it for me every day and, you know, turning down the covers for me every night and putting a chocolate on the pillow.
No, I don't do that. I don't do that. That's just other things.
So not true. You know, but because, you know, we're a team, we do things that maybe it is within our role, if you will use. Could say maybe it's not or whatever, but it doesn't matter. We're still appreciative to the other mm-hmm. person of like, thank you so much, because I recognize that even if, you know, it wasn't my job, if you will, like he mowed the grass or, you know, did something with a vehicle or took out the trash order, I'm still thankful that he's doing that, because if he didn't, then either I would be doing it or having to get somebody else to do it, right?
And let me just keep it that thought. Okay. But let me just say this. A lot of times the reason you're not appreciative is you don't understand the work that's going into that, what you take for granted. Oh, and true. So to make you appreciative, go do the work yourself.
That's true.
Help your wife do those things that she does so often. Doing all the laundry, folding all the laundry, you know, mopping the floors, doing the cooking and everything like that. The reason you're not appreciative is you don't understand the work that other people are putting into it. And so if you would get a taste of the work that is having to be put into something, you would understand the sacrifice that people are making to help you. And then, maybe then, you would be appreciative.
Yeah. Yeah, that's very true. Because, you know, it really, at a, you know, life can change very quickly. And so we can end up in a situation where, you know, in the natural, it's difficult for us, especially if you've had help and all kinds of things. Or, you know, what if you didn't have your children? What if you didn't have your spouse? And I'm not trying to take this in the wrong direction, but just to understand that you do have them today. So be appreciative, be thankful, you know, for them. And it actually creates a wonderful harmony and within your life. Because again, this is the way of the Lord, actually. You know, I was sharing before the offering on this past Sunday, which would be, I guess, February 25th. And I was talking about, you know, thankfulness, actually, and gratefulness, and even to Jesus, how important it was. You know, there's that story in Luke chapter 17 about the 10 lepers. You know, they come and they're, of course, with leprosy, you're not allowed to be, you weren't allowed to be mixing with other people. It was terribly contagious. And so these lepers, 10 of them come and they're just crying from a distance to Jesus, you know, Jesus, you know, heal us. And Jesus just spoke the word, right? And he just said, go and show yourselves to the priests, which of course would be indication that they would be healed. Even as they go, they're healed, because in that day they had to, if you had leprosy and even you were healed, you had to go get proof from the priest to be able to be allowed back into society and with around people and everything. And so here the 10 of them leave, they're obviously healed as they go, and then only one of them comes back to thank Jesus. And you know, it's interesting, Jesus said to him, well, the one comes back to thank him, and Jesus said, well, wait a second, weren't there 10 healed? And of course, one, yes. Then where are the other 9? You came back to say, to be thankful. Where's the other 9? So does that not tell you how important actually it is to Jesus? That Jesus didn't go, you know what? I mean, I'm, you know, I'm the healer and you know, I healed him. So it doesn't even matter. But the fact that he actually said, excuse me, where are the other 9? Nobody, the other 9, why didn't they come back to say thank you? So actually we see how important it is. And the one that came back to say thank you, it says, Jesus said to him, your faith has restored you. And so we see here how all of them were healed, but the one who came back to be thankful actually received restoration as well. So that tells you not only how important and a spiritual thing it is, but actually what it does for your own life. Because of course, if you're not aware with leprosy, they could be healed from leprosy and not have it any longer. But see, when you have leprosy, like, you know, fingers fall off, parts of your, you know, thing, your skin, everything rots away. So you could be healed of it. But see, in restoration, I don't know what all that leper lost, but I do know that he was restored. So everything that had been lost was given back out of thankfulness and gratefulness and being appreciative of what Jesus had done for him. Mm-hmm. And so, first of all, our thanksgiving has to be given to the Lord, but it needs to overflow actually into everyone around us. And you know, when people actually know that you care about them, and of course, they're going to know that not just by what you say, they're going to know that by what you do for them and how you remember them, and you know, how you. When they talk, you actually listen to them. You're not just, you know, looking off here and there and not paying attention. You know, these ways, people will actually go so far above and beyond when you need help. And there's times, and it's always unexpected for each one of us. Well, oh, I didn't think I would need help right now, or I didn't realize I would need that. And so, again, these are all, you know, we're talking about mistakes that ministers and leaders make, but you understand that if you're doing the right thing and doing the opposite of making the mistake. So in other words, obviously doing the right thing, that actually enables you to increase so much more. So when you're making this mistake, not only you're putting yourself in a place where you can't increase, you're actually decreasing. And so it's so important that each one of us, we learn these things. We make the adjustments, and the Holy Spirit is so great that he not only helps us, you know, he shows us what we need to do, but he helps us to be able to make the adjustments. And he'll come alongside and he'll remind you of things and just take you to, you know, a whole nother level.
Amen.
You know, and we talked about even, you know, how you realize that thankful people are just the happiest. It's like the two things go together. Mm-hmm. And so you find that actually as you praise the Lord and as you're thankful to him, because see, your faith goes to a new level just out of that. When you're, because very thankfulness true. Arises because you're conscious of a benefit that you received.
That's right.
And so when we praise the Lord for his healing power and we praise the Lord for the wonderful things that he is doing and has done in our life, then actually we receive more of that. Mm-hmm. And we walk even in a greater level of that. It opens things for us.
Absolutely.
So you understand that in the natural, that you're going to be able to increase and access things in such a greater way than you ever even thought possible, just from being appreciative, just from going the extra mile, just from doing the things that starts from our thankfulness and our appreciation to the Lord and what he is doing. But of course, it should overflow in everybody else that is around us, and
absolutely,
especially those that are close to us.
Absolutely. So everyone that surrounds you, from those that are above you, those that are beside you, those that are beneath you, show your thanksgiving, show your appreciation to them, and your level of joy will increase. Your level of happiness, just your level of contentedness will actually increase. Not content, and I'm not talking about in a spiritual level, but just being content with things around you and everything like that, because you're a lot of times people are just caught up in such a pace where they're not recognizing what others are doing around them that are so beneficial to their life. You get consumed with your own life and you miss what is happening all around you and with other people that are around you. And if you're not an appreciative person, if you're not a thankful person, nobody's even going to come and tell you anything that's going on in their life, because they recognize that your life is all about you. It's mm-hmm. not about other people. And again, we're talking to leaders and ministers, and that's not what your life is about. You are called by God to be able to touch other people's lives, to be able to affect other people's lives for the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. And so be thankful, be appreciative, show it, say it, be it. And watch how everything around you is really transformed in a wonderful and a very powerful way. So yes. I think we're going to end this podcast here now. And so we thank you again for taking the time to be able to join us on the Last Days podcast. We look forward to seeing you. Please come and join us. Remember, our camp meeting is coming up here starting on Easter Sunday and going all the way through April 5th. And so that's Sunday through Friday, 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. each day. Camp meeting, the theme is As It Is in Heaven. And so we encourage you to make your plans now to come here to beautiful Johnson City. It's just going to be off the chain beautiful. And come expecting God to do a supernatural work in your life. If you want to come early, you can come early. In fact, you can show up tomorrow if you'd like. But anyway, we'd love to see you. And we can't wait until we get to spend some time with you and get to talk with you. We love you so much. God bless you.
Have a great day.
She took the words right out of my mouth. Bye-bye. Hey, this is Dr. Todd Holmes, and I want to thank you for listening to this podcast, whether it was myself or my amazing wife, Katie, maybe the two of us together. If you want to be more than just an occasional listener and desire to really stand with us as we take the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ to this generation, go to riverofTriCities.com, riverofTriCities.com, and click on Donate. Be a part of the Last Days Army of monthly partners that we're taking ground with. If you'd like to do that, I would like to send you a special gift for partnering with us. So until next time, thank you so much for listening. God bless you.